Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Group 10 Metals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol PGE and on the OTCQB under the symbol PGEZF. We are chatting with the President and CEO, Michael Rowley. Just to bring everybody up to speed, Group 10 Metals is focused on the battery and precious metals in premier U.S. jurisdictions. The company holds a couple projects here. We're going to be focusing a fair bit on the Stillwater project here, which is in Montana. This one had some pretty big developments this year. And where we're going to start here, Mike, is more of a recap of 2021 in terms of some of the key news events. The resource estimate that was announced at the tail end of October, October 21st, the company announced the inaugural mineral resource estimate at that Stillwater West project. Mike, take us through these initial numbers just for all the people that might have missed it this year.
Sure, I'd be glad to, and glad to be back on the show. Yeah, that was a major step for the company. It's a major step for any junior, of course, on that Lassonde curve evaluation. And it was a very healthy debut for us. It actually places us at the upper end of the pack, even as a debut, and up against companies that are bigger and have engineering studies in place. So we're looking forward to growing this very nicely. As a debut, we ran, of course, a couple of sensitivity cases, and it shows remarkable continuity in these deposits. At the base case, at a 0.2% nickel equivalent cutoff, that's the 1.1 billion pounds of battery metals, 2.4 million ounces of PGEs and gold. For those that prefer equivalents, that's 6 million ounces palladium equivalent, or 1.6 billion pounds of nickel equivalent, a very sizable debut. If you roll that down to a higher grade cutoff, a more selective mining scenario, we've still got nearly 900 million pounds of battery metals, 1.8 million ounces PGEs and gold. And that's a key point here, is we've got good optionality on possible mine methods as we go forward. This consists of five deposits across the 9 kilometers core on the project. You can see that in our figures. We've modeled it in 3D. And these frankly look like they want to connect across that peridotite zone, which is so prospective. And that continues more broadly across the 32 kilometers of the project. So there's lots of room to grow this. And I expect you'll want to talk next about the recent drill results we just put out. That's doing a beautiful job of highlighting our expansion potential here.
Yeah, Mike, let's look at that, because we should remind folks that the resource estimate you put out doesn't include any of the drilling from this year. And you've got 14 holes you put in. You've just reported two of them earlier this week on the 20th. And one of them, hole number one, returned the widest high-grade intercept to date, 63 meters, almost 64 meters of 0.92% nickel equivalent, 2.46 grams per ton palladium equivivalent. Just walk us through these first initial two holes. And then I know you're still waiting on assays, but how that will build into the larger resource to come.
You bet. This is exciting stuff. And it shows that the work we've done in the past 4 years on the ground and the predictive geologic model that we've built is working really nicely in terms of targeting grade. This is a famously well-mineralized district. There's 100 million ounces right next door to us, including past production. We're in the same magmatic system as Sibanye. So it's there, frankly, and it's taken someone to go after it with a systematic approach. At a very high level, we have now 230 holes total in the system. 83 of those are in the models, the deposits that we just debuted. 14 of those, as you mentioned, are pending from our 2021 expansion program. Two of those were just released. And there's a further 133 holes across that 32-kilometer span of the project that guide us as we expand from here, which is marvelous information to have, because these are holes that we don't have to drill ourselves. The two holes announced to date from the 14-hole program in 2021 speak to the effectiveness of that model and our ability to target in this system. You flagged the 64 meters at nearly a percent nickel equivalent. That's a fantastic hit. And if you don't like equivalents, you can consider that that's 0.47% of just straight nickel, 0.27 copper, 0.04 cobalt, and over 0.6 grams of per ton of palladium, gold, and platinum. Rhodium is pending on that. And that speaks to what we're into here. This is fantastic stuff. This is within a broader interval of 367 meters at 0.31 nickel. And then the other hole we just released, that's at the CZ deposit area. The other hole just announced is in between the DR and hybrid deposits over at Chrome Mountain. 728 meters of continuous mineralization. That's unusual. That's almost 3/4 of a kilometer of solid sulfide mineralization. And that's 7 kilometers away from similar multi-hundred meter intervals at Iron Mountain, at HGR. The CZ target we just talked about is in between. So you get this picture of a fantastic block of mineralization. Lots of metal in the system here at Stillwater, and we are targeting those pods within that are higher grade, basically. And again, we've got good optionality on mine method. Do you go wide bulk tonnage, or do you go narrow, more selective mining? We're seeing good optionality for both. Within that 728 meters, you can see it in our news release, but we've broken it down to 350 meters, 160 meters, 50 meters at successively higher grades. Coming down to a couple of intercepts at 7 meters that are genuinely high grade, over a percent nickel equivalent, nearly 3 grams palladium equivalent. So we like what we see, and we're definitely paving the way very nicely for an expanded resource in 2022 in terms of both scale and grade.
Well, and that's the key to note too, is that this drill program was focused on growing, expanding on these deposits, and the partial results that we have from those first two holes. Well, you don't really get better than drilling the highest grade and the widest mineralized intercept to date at the Stillwater project. Mike, what does that mean, big picture, then, for continuing to grow these deposits? What's possible? And on that point, are you tying some of these deposits together, like that drill result that came between that DR and hybrid deposit?
That's exactly right. Yeah, the area between DR and hybrid is very interesting to us. You see that we put 6 holes in there, and only one of them is reported to date. That area looks very compelling. The area at HGR, also very interesting. All of these are open for expansion. And you're correct that the 4 at Iron Mountain look like they want to continue, and they're even fairly close to each other. It's a couple of kilometers gap over to Chrome Mountain, but that bit in between looks contiguous as well. And you can see that in our 3D models on our website. So the strategy for the short term is to grow these in terms of both scale and grade. And we certainly see the basis to do that. It's worth noting as well that we're also funded well to that. I'm sure we'll touch on that later in the call, and permitted for that expansion as well.
Well, Mike, I know that there's 5 deposits on the property that we've referenced before, but it seems like the majority of the work has really been in this area that's the Chrome Mountain area and the Iron Mountain area, which now encompasses that CZ area, kind of an east trend and a west trend. Could you walk us through where the main focus will be as you go into next year? And are there some of those 5 deposit areas that will receive drilling that have not had as much this year or last year?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're blessed with a great number of targets. Our challenge simply is we have to watch dilution, right? We have to grow smartly with strategy. So we focused out of necessity on the most defined areas. And with those resources out in October, we expect a revaluation in the market in the coming months as we get these results out and move towards a bigger resource estimate in 2022. From there, keep growing. We have a very low cost of discovery here. And now that our geologic model is working so well and we're able to step out of these known areas, 100 meters at a time, hitting grade, hitting new magmatic horizons, we can add a lot of ounces and pounds quickly and cheaply, building out from the known areas. We will continue to work those earlier stage areas. We have that high-grade gold deposit that's not 43-101 compliant at Pine, for example. We look forward to drilling that perhaps in 2022. That's subject to seeing the geophysical results. Crescent area is very compelling, and we have not yet drilled that one. It's small, but it does show good grades. So we will be giving increasing attention to those areas as we grow, and more broadly across the 32-kilometer span as we step out of that 9-kilometer core area.
Mike, just one more quick question regarding this cost of discovery. What's been critical or important for the company to keep this low cost of discovery? And do you have some numbers around just how cheaply you have been able to add pounds here?
We're working up some materials around that right now, actually, because our cost of discovery per pound is actually incredibly low. And that is partly due to the fact that we inherited 205 drill holes and some really good geophysical surveys, soil work by past operators, reaching back to AMAX in the 1960s even. But now that we've kind of cracked the code, if you will, at Stillwater, I expect that our costs going forward are going to look really good. Look at the intercepts we just hit. I mean, 64 meters of 0.92% nickel equivalent. You can add a lot of metal at that rate with each drill hole.
Well, Mike, just because you did break down the nickel equivalent into the individual parts, I think it'd be good for people that are not as familiar with the project, or even that are familiar with it, just to know how the actual metals break down in this deposit, because it's really more nickel heavy than I think some people realize, but there's so many other supporting metals. Could you just walk us through in a general sense what the percentage is of the composite, the makeup of this deposit?
Sure. Yeah, that's a good point. We are 42% nickel by prices used in our resource estimates in October. So the dominant value is nickel, as you mentioned. Palladium right behind that, 20.4%. And then cobalt and copper, 12% and 10.5%. And then rhodium, gold, and platinum, each sort of 4 to 6%. So overall, we're 2/3 battery metal, 1/3 precious. And it's worth noting that we're in a U.S. district that's known for the highest grade PGE mines in the world. They are also nickel copper mines. They just don't really disclose those numbers particularly. And there are processing facilities in the district, including a smelter, that are relevant to operations of this type. They're operated by Sibanye, of course. Sibanye is looking for battery metal deposits in the U.S., and we have this right next door with battery metals as the dominant value. It's a good time to be in these metals in the U.S. They're listed as critical. And of course, we're seeing a bidding war for Noront right now, you know, which shows you what's possible with these district scale North American assets.
Now, Mike, let's talk corporately then in terms of recapping this year and then also looking into next year. There was one news event or one activity that happened this year corporately where you guys managed to sell one of your assets. Take us through this sale of the asset and how it fits into the bigger corporate goals.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. The one point about Group 10 is that we actually own three district scale assets 100% because we were active through the bear market acquiring good projects with strategy. Stillwater, of course, is the lead asset, the flagship, even though it was the last one to be added to the fold. We recently cut a deal for our Black Lake Drayton project in Ontario, and this shows the kind of things that we're looking for and are possible with these district scale assets that we have. Heritage Mining is a startup group. They're going to IPO here probably in January. Good group. They have experience on the Treasury Metals ground that is right beside us in Northwest Ontario. This is a large land position with 127 holes in the database. It just hasn't been our focus. A really good high-grade gold district with 3 million ounces right next door and a permit to build a mill. Treasury Metals. Our deal with Heritage is exactly what we're looking for. They can earn up to a 90% interest in the project over 4 years. We have a 10% carried interest right through to feasibility. Get a major share position in their company as they pursue this, and they have to put in at least $5 million in exploration to advance the project. And we also get up to $10 million in discovery bonuses at a dollar an ounce gold or gold equivalent. So we get really good exposure to the gold space, and they have an excellent team to advance the asset. We are also looking for partners on our Kluane project in the Yukon, and we have some good conversations underway in that regard as well.
Well, Mike, it's nice to see you daylight value for shareholders, which I should disclose, I'm a shareholder, so I was excited to see you transact with Heritage on that Black Lake Drayton project, and wishing you luck on the Kluane one as well. Just remind us of the cash position the company is in as we move into 2022 to continue the exploration.
You bet. Yeah, we've actually got 3.6 million cash in the bank right now. So we're in very good shape. We have over 13 million of in the money warrants and options too. And those are well in the money at present. So looking forward to seeing those come in as well. And as I mentioned earlier, we're fully permitted on up to 50 drill pads at Stillwater. So I can sleep well through winter at night for once. It's a great platform to build from. We were just written up today by a fellow, and he noted that we have 14 billion in gross metal value, yet a market cap that is about 60 million. So our strategy from here, our focus is just getting these good drill results out in the January, February timeframe, and getting to work on that share price and daylighting some of the value that we have coming into the spring and summer seasons.
Mike, why do you think there's such a disconnect there between the value of the assets in the ground? Now, they are in the ground, but compared to the underlying market cap, is it just market awareness? Is it having a major validate it? What do you think changes that perception?
To some extent, it's normal, especially for a polymetallic project. These polymetallic systems, while rare, are also harder for investors to understand. That may be a factor. And the general market, of course, went sideways through the summer. And we fared actually better than a lot of our peers. But that said, we're still valued below 1% of our gross value. In fact, probably below 0.5%. So there's definite easy room to grow there as we get this story out. We like Canada Nickel as a peer and a comparable. They've done a great job with a project in Ontario. They don't have the PGE values that we do, but they are a lower grade big nickel project, and that's relevant because there aren't many of those out there. A lot of the peers are pretty small. Canada Nickel took a few months after they debuted their resources to really gain in value, and it took a few good drill hits to start to convince the market, right? So we like them as an aspirational peer, and we're looking forward to repeating their success at Stillwater.
All right, Mike, really appreciate that recap of some of the key news from this year. And we still have a lot of drill results to come back from the assay labs. But boy, oh boy, very good start so far from the initial reporting. Plus next year sounds like a bit more of growth in terms of the deposits and overall asset, especially at Stillwater. Mike, thank you, as always, for your time. It's been fun following along with the story. We'll look forward to following up in the new year on the back of some more news. Have a very Merry Christmas. Happy holidays there, Mike. We'll chat in 2022.
Thanks. You as well. The best is yet to come. Cheers.